Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Once Upon a Podcast Network. And as a writer, especially in this day and age, it is not enough to just go ahead and get your manuscript done, shop it around, and all of a sudden it's out, and then just kind of sit back and let the publisher go ahead and sing your praises, let them take care of all the ads, let them take care of all the promotions, let them take care of everything that's needed in order to get the public flocking to your book. That's not how it goes. That's really not ever how it's gone. But there's always been that illusion of the writer only having to just do the writing and that's it. There is so much more to it. When you write the book, that is really just the first step. And that counts with all of the writing, all of the different drafts, all the different editing, the beta reading, everything. Once you have the book all finished and ready, now the real fun begins, because now it's up to you to sell yourself as an author and yourself as an ideal person to be the one to tell this story. And you also have to sell the story. So there is so much that goes into that, and there are signings, there are the different tours that you have to do, the different people that you have to meet, the different functions that you have to appear on. And that requires getting up on stage. That requires you presenting yourself in a way that exudes both confidence and charisma. You want the people to look at you as someone who knows what they're talking about and someone who has a story that is worth listening to or reading. So that's one of the major elements that a lot of people don't really dive into when it comes to being a successful author or any other kind of creative, is having the confidence in yourself to get that out there, to attract people's attention. And a big part of that is charisma. And I am very grateful that we have someone like our guest, Melina Dalineros, who is here this week to share her input on a very extensive book that she is working on regarding charisma, and being able to share her experience dealing with it, knowing how amazingly important charisma really is to any sort of creative's career. And I am just so thankful to have her here, so that way she can share her knowledge with myself, with all of you. It is a real pleasure for me to introduce my friend, Melina Dalineros. Melina, how are you?
Thank you so much, George. I'm great. I'm really happy to be here today. And thank you for the lovely introduction. I'm really happy that you find me as a person who you want to share advice with other authors, especially considering that I'm still only writing my first book. But still, I have managed to somehow win this trust from you.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that. That is an honor for me. But this also gets me into a point that is very important. Mm-hmm. Like, how come a person who has never written a book before, or never have had a book published, rather, mm-hmm. still manage to create this sort of trust? And what I've been doing from the start, from not having had a publisher, an editor, really just having hundreds of pages that I have written about this topic, how come you still were the person who told me that, Melina, you are already an author? Don't call yourself a an aspiring author. Call yourself an author.
Yes.
And I've been trying to figure this out. And I think that one of the things is specifically this that you started to talk about, selling yourself as an author. Mm-hmm. This has been one of the parts of my strategy to get my book out there in the best possible ways that I can think of, which is to have people already rooting for me before this book is even in physical form yet. And I think it works. What do you think?
I think that you, for all of the work that you have done already, you've already told me before we started recording that you have hundreds of pages of this book at the ready, to the point where you're even considering making it a series. And I hope that what you're going to be doing is kind of breaking it apart into some smaller, easily digestible chunks, so that way you're really kind of helping the author or the creative in general just kind of ease into this. Because one of the things about creatives in general, and a lot of authors specifically, I remember hearing a wonderful take on it, that we are egomaniacs with low self-esteem. And what was meant by that is that we are going out there with the confidence in ourselves saying that, oh, this story needs to be told. This story needs to be heard. This story needs to be read. This is very important to the world. It needs to get out there. I need to be the one to do it. And then as soon as it gets rejected, they immediately go into, I knew it was crap. I knew I was crap. And then all of a sudden they go back down to shrinking. And when you label yourself as an aspiring author, I look at that very differently. I look at anyone who says that they are an aspiring author is basically 99% of the people out there that have said, oh, there's a book in me. But there's a very small group of people that actually put in the effort to get that book out there. And what you have done that really grabbed my attention is the fact that you have all this work that you have already put in. That means you are an author. Now, later on, you'll be a published author. And so that's where the disconnect is with a lot of people. They'll say they're an aspiring author. I even met someone who works over at Barnes & Noble, and I'm not going to put her name on blast or anything, but this is someone who was considering herself an aspiring author. Meanwhile, she had already finished 3 novels and had self-published one of them. You're an author. And
yes,
a published author.
Definitely. So, you are an author, girl. You are an author.
Right.
Definitely.
So own it. Own it. That's what this is all about. And the fact that you are writing about charisma, about confidence, that's something that a lot of people really tend to lack in themselves. And so by you saying, not that you're an aspiring author, but that you're an author, guess what you're doing? You're putting confidence in yourself. You're injecting that extra oomph into your book, into your work. And that is going to, I believe, that is going to push you along the way.
You're totally right. And I believe this is exactly the way it goes. And many habits that we have might be real deep within us. Like, for example, I haven't always been confident in my abilities, in my competency, in myself as someone who is worthy of carrying any sort of important message to the world. But that was an old version of me. Mm-hmm. And not even all of the old versions of me at any given specific time. It was just certain versions of me in certain specific situations that felt that way. And we should not let ourselves be identified by that very specific small part of our identity, not by ourselves and not by other people either. Mm-hmm. We should know that we are much bigger than that, much bigger than that very little version of ourselves that can be found in some time in our past for some of us, or in the current moment for some of us. but we can also choose other aspects to our identity that we put more emphasis on and that we choose to grow. Mm-hmm. And by grow, I mean to put our focus on them so much that they take up more and more of our cognitive capabilities so that we don't really have space in our heads for those versions of us that we don't really want to keep dragging along. We can still feel love for them, and that we should do always. We shouldn't be mean towards those versions of ourselves. We shouldn't try to deny them in an untrue way, because we wouldn't even believe those thoughts anyway. But we don't need to keep saying that that is who we are, because mm-hmm. it's not true. It's just something that happens at certain moments. And if we choose to focus on something else that happens at certain other moments, and we choose to give more attention to that, then that will grow. Mm-hmm. So my little Milena, the one that was not so confident, that had many insecurities, that was always feeling like I couldn't do anything right, or at least in some situations, like for her, I want to make this book for her, for the older versions of me who did not have this figured out. And the book of that Milena's dreams, this is what this is going to be, but also several steps beyond that, because I have come many, many steps beyond that. So it's not only a book about how to increase your confidence, even though confidence is a really big part of charisma. It is a book about all aspects to charisma, both mm-hmm. the outer tools that we can use to seem more charismatic and to actually pump ourselves up before something important so that we feel more charismatic. But it's also all of the internal journey stuff mm-hmm. that is, to be honest, that's the most important thing. Having it radiate from the inside and out, because that's what it is. It's radiating. It is a vibe that comes from within ourselves and lights up us and the people who happen to be near us at that moment. So that is what charisma is about. That is what I want to send back in time to all of those older versions of myself, but also to other people who might resonate with that. Because mm-hmm. if I had had this knowledge now, then that I have now, I would have found it invaluable. And it's taken me years to accumulate this and to be able to just squeeze it into a book. And in the near future, also into a coaching program that is going to save this person who might resonate with this so much time, so much anxiety, and so much insecurities that is basically unnecessary if you can find this knowledge in another way. So that is what I want to bring to the world.
That's wonderful. And what you said regarding soaking up all your victories and really kind of pushing them to the surface in your own mind to basically just take up so much space that there's no room for doubt, that there's no room to ruminate on failures. That's something that happens with everyone. With it's human nature. We are all someone who we are all able to grasp onto those victories. But as soon as a bad review comes in, or if someone misinterprets what you're saying, or if you are, say, like on the football field and you got 10 sacks in one game, but then you miss one tackle where the running back goes like 75 yards, then you're just ruminating on that. And it's human nature to do that. So it's something that it sounds like it would be very therapeutic for those who would take your coaching program and kind of go through those times when they did not succeed, when they are thinking about their failures, and just kind of get it out there, but then counter it with all the different victories. Is that something that you're thinking of kind of implementing into your program?
That is actually a really good idea, because unless you work through all of these things where you might still have some pain holding you back, mm-hmm. then it's really hard to move forward.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to ruminate and just get stuck in it, it's not so productive. It's not so constructive. And I would want to have something where you try to find, like, what does really matter to you the most? What is it that, what are your core values? That is, for example, something that's really important to know. And not everybody knows this so that they can actually say their values like that. They might have a clue, like some form of feeling what is important to them, but to actually be really clear on your values, that's really important, because from that you will be able to know in what ways you want to work towards a life vision, for example. You will also know, is this really my life vision, or is it something that I have imagined because I am, it's been pushed upon me by society or by peers, by my family. So basically, I want to help people to find out more about what they truly want and find ways that are in alignment with their values so that they can work towards their ideal visions of how they live their lives as their most ideal self. Because if you can accomplish that, or at least if you can feel that you are on your way towards that in concrete steps, and you feel that there is change and improvement happening all the time, that is going to start building some really tangible confidence in you. And it is going to shine through you so much. People are going to feel it. And that is the beginning of some real powerful charisma.
I love that. I love that. Very powerful charisma. That's something that too many people really need to hold on to, that are out there, that are looking to get their work out there. Because it really is, it's very difficult to, and it's very gut-wrenching when you are putting so much of who you are, your essence, basically, into a book or a painting or music or a film or whatever. And putting it out there like the way you are, like it's I think that's a reason why stand-up comedy is so important to me, because it's something that I never had confidence in myself that I could do, and I still don't ever see, as of right now, I do not see myself even getting up for an open mic. But at the same time, anyone who has the guts to do that, who works on their craft and tries to put these jokes together, putting them in like an 8-minute set, and then to get up there when it's just you, the microphone, and a facade, a brick facade behind you, and that's it, then you've already won, because you've already had the guts to get up there.
Absolutely.
So that's something that to me is very powerful. Same thing as poetry. For those who decide to get up on an open mic and tell their poetry, that in itself is a wonderful thing, because you're not just saying a poem, you are performing something that you wrote that came out of you. Yes. And so there's so many different people that can benefit from a program like this. And what I would love to know is, you were talking about the younger version of yourself that did not have this confidence, that did not feel attached to any sort of charisma. Would that be, say, what I like to call the lightning bolt moment? And that was something that you experienced or read or seen or heard and just said, ooh, that's what I want to do. Was there someone that exuded that sort of confidence that grabbed your attention?
So there is so much here that I want to comment on, by the way. So, okay, one thing at a time. First of all, about these authors and poets and stand-up comedy persons who you're talking about, I also admire them so much. And what I can say about these guys is that, great job, you're already ahead of like the majority of the population just by being creatives and being authentic about your art has taken you so far. You are already extremely charismatic, and you might not know it, but it's true, because being in contact with your creative side is really important for charisma. Creativity is a huge part of it, because it helps you to be authentic. It helps you to put things out there, and just being daring enough to do that, that is already proof that you are confident and charismatic. And if you start to see it that way, let it infuse you more. Let it reaffirm itself within you so that it grows even more. And it doesn't matter what the outcomes are afterwards. Attaching ourselves to the outcomes in the form of what other people will think, or how much of a success a certain book will be, or what critics say about our painting, all of that, that is secondary. I know that it feels great to hear critics say that stuff we create are amazing. I know, but...
But we can't control that.
We cannot control that. We can control that we did pick up the brush, we did sit down in front of a computer, or took a pen in our hand and started writing. That we can control. And we should just let ourselves rejoice in knowing that we are creatives, and like you have said so many times, George, and own it. Yes, own it, because we let our authenticity shine through, and that is a huge part of being charismatic. So that's one thing that I wanted to comment on. And then you asked me, what was the pivotal moment? What was it that made me realize that charisma, this is something that I want to explore more, and this is what I want to do? I think I have always known it, but I never thought that I would be someone teaching it. I never thought that I would be writing books about it from this point of view. I thought that I would only be someone who learned everything I possibly could about it to feel better about myself. So that was from that standpoint that I was thinking about charisma at that time in my life. And when I've always been journaling, George, like since I was a little girl. When I look back and see the journal entries that I was making in my diary, they were things like, okay, so I'm going to change schools now, because when a certain class ends, you change school. Everyone does, but everyone goes to different schools, depending on where you live, for example. And I, at that age, saw that, oh my God, this is a chapter change for me, where I can decide, do I want to be the same person that I was before, or do I want to make some adjustments based on my ideal version of myself and start to implement that when I come to this new place with new people, with no labels that have yet been formed, where I'm free to create a new version of myself in the eyes of other people. So I was writing about that kind of things as a kid. And I think that says a lot about how important this has been for me, like all my life. And also I said it was regarding certain versions of myself. And this is also something I've realized afterwards, that I was super charismatic in some contexts. For example, when I was playing outdoors near the house where I lived, all of the kids, we were like 40 kids or something, playing hide and seek all together. And I didn't have a problem with being myself and feeling authentic and playing in a way that felt completely natural and effortless to me. But at school, I was a completely different person, where I was really worried about what people thought of me and how I was perceived as a shy girl. And I couldn't change that, because then I would upset people or break their expectations of me and not fit into the labels that had been given to me. So I was very sensitive about those things. But that's what I mean by it's different between different contexts. For example, we are not the same person in all contexts or in all roles that we have.
Excellent. And my understanding is that you were also, you had a family in the military, correct?
Not a family. I myself worked in the military. I began as a military interpreter, and then I was a teacher. So I have a background with studying psychology and rhetoric, and it was basically teaching similar kind of topics, but in a military context. And yeah, so I was teaching perception, memory, questioning techniques, things like that.
Excellent. And that definitely kind of brings up more experience and definitely more confidence in what it is that you're doing, what you're teaching, what you're saying, because that you can back it up.
Yes.
And that really becomes what I've experienced as a real it factor. One of the things that's mentioned a lot with podcasters when everyone is talking about wanting to start a show, not knowing quite what to do, what steps to take. One of the questions that a lot of other experienced podcasters ask is, well, what can you talk about for about a half hour or so for over 100 episodes? And once they figure that out, then all of a sudden the confidence in themselves grows because they know that they can talk about this, 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 and this. And then all of a sudden the confidence grows, charisma grows with it because you're getting that extra inflection behind what it is that you're saying. You're you're adding that extra, that extra like feeling of knowing what it is that you're talking about and knowing that not only knowing what you're talking about, but being excited about what you're talking about. And that's something that really grabs people's attention. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Having an excitement for what you're doing brings so much energy into your work, whether it's you have a job or you're an entrepreneur. If you have this excitement that, oh my God, I love what I'm doing and I feel really good at it and I know that I'm bringing my best because I'm good at this and because I love it and I care about the results that my clients get, well, that is going to show. And people are drawn to that. Like, for example, experience is really important. Yeah, I agree with that. Everyone who says that you need to have experience for a certain amount of time or a certain amount of clients or you name it. But what people will eventually fall for or what they will eventually want to have from this person is the chance to be in their energy.
Yeah.
So that is a very important concept that, yeah, we can have all the experience in the world, but unless we can click with a person, it's not the most important thing.
Yeah.
They might choose somebody with less experience as their coach if they find that they are more in alignment with that person's energy than with this other more experienced person's energy. So that is somewhere where the more like intangible, ethereal aspects to charisma come into play, that we just feel a certain thing from people.
Yeah.
They make us feel a certain way. So by elevating our charisma, we're also elevating the way we connect with people. So imagine a person whose vibe you are naturally attracted to. They just magnetize you.
Yeah.
Like, why is that? Well, I think that it's because they really see us. And by them seeing us, and not only seeing us, but seeing the treasures we have inside of us and bringing them to the surface.
Yeah.
In a way that we can also believe in. When that happens, that's where the magic of charisma is also happening. So, yes, we can be charismatic in an empty room, but the real magic happens when we have this interaction with another person or with other people.
Yeah.
And they get a reaction from us because of how they start to feel in our presence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
And it's one, like you said, it's one thing to be projective and feel confident and everything when you are playing to an empty room. But as soon as a couple of people start trickling in, then all of a sudden you have someone to play off of.
Yeah.
And that's where the confidence really grows. And that's where all of a sudden you start to feel like what you're doing is worth it. Yes. It's connecting with people in some way. I remember hearing one thing that it's very easy to do really well in a packed house. But if you bomb in front of 10 people and are just thinking about all those empty seats and you're not connecting with them, then they're going to tell everyone just how much you bombed with them. And all of a sudden that's going to play against it. So definitely have those moments to really take the time to connect with those people, because they're there for you. They want to hear you. And the more you interact with them, the more they're going to act with you. All of a sudden your confidence goes up.
Yes.
Now, for you, for your experience, what do you know the moment when you started to apply all these different things that you were thinking about to your own self and started to see results?
Well, if we think about knowledge and internalizing knowledge, mm-hmm. they come in several steps, the levels of how good we are at something. We can know something because we have read it. Like, I had read many books about psychology, confidence, mm-hmm. body language, you name it. But I knew it on a theoretical level. I think I implemented a lot of it without thinking about it in situations where I just felt I could be myself. But in situations where I was thinking more about, I didn't really feel at ease in certain situations, for example, I forgot that I knew all of this, that I could actually be implementing to be creating the sort of image that I would have wanted in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I forgot. But then, for example, when we were studying in the military, things like interviewing techniques, and I realized that, but I know this from psychology already. Why am I not using it? It was probably because it was such a theoretical level at university compared to in the military, where it was so extremely practical. And mm-hmm. we got to do all of these things for real again and again and again until it felt like second nature to us. Mm-hmm. And that is a different way of learning something, to actually see that, okay, I can use these skill sets. It's not just something I think about and understand on a theoretical level. It's something that I can implement practically. And mm-hmm. that is a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I know that when I've been really interested in personal development, for example, so many coaches that were using all of these different knowledge theories from psychology, and I was like, but I know that also. Mm-hmm. Why haven't I used any of that before in that way? Well, mm-hmm. it's probably because I've still kept it on a fact level, whereas they have internalized it and made it into something that they live.
Mm.
And that is also something that is really important for me, to be able to help people to not just understand something, a theory. They can read any book for that. There are millions of books about that. I want them to feel that this belongs to them. I want them to take this knowledge and make it theirs in a way that they can believe in, that not just, okay, I will force myself into doing whatever exercise and then I will know this. No, they can try out different things so that these things start to become internalized parts of themselves in mm-hmm. how they can choose to use them or not use them. But they can make it their own. Anything about body language, about expressions, facial expressions, about how they find their inner values, anything. They need to believe that this knowledge is theirs. That's when the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And that took me a while, to internalize and make knowledge into my own, in my own way that I could really resonate with. So once you've gotten to that stage, that's a whole different level, but that's the stage I hope to help people to reach.
That's great. And that actually kind of goes against one of the things that I keep hearing a lot, which is the phrase fake it till you make it. And it's trying to like inject that false confidence in yourself until like the real confidence kind of kicks in. it seems like doing that is kind of setting yourself up for failure. That's my thought, that you're trying so hard to put up a facade of someone who knows what they're talking about instead of actually putting in the work and realizing, hey, I actually do know what I'm talking about, and this is what I would like to focus on. Do you feel like that is something that can work or needs to be handled a little bit differently? What are your thoughts on that?
Mixed, I would say, because there is some research that shows that if we, for example, smile, it is going to send signals to the body that we are happy. So I know, for example, that some women are against being told that, oh, you should smile. But no, it's not because like, oh, you're going to look prettier if you smile. Not that. But it can help us to feel better if we carry our bodies and our face in a way that we do when we feel good. So it's a positive loop, so to speak, a positive feedback loop that can reinforce itself. And we, if we know how that works, why not use it to our advantage? But the fake it till you make it, in the sense that you describe it, no, I don't really believe that. I think that you are going to know that you are a fake, or at least if you believe that you are a fake, that is going to shine through, unless you're a really good actor. But that's exhausting to be acting your way all the time. That is completely exhausting. So I would rather say that set up a schedule for yourself to back up this confidence that you want with real competence, because confidence is preceded by competence. And if you feel that you are competent in your work, in a certain topic, in something that you want to be known for, confidence is going to follow. Confidence, that's my belief.
Competence leads to confidence. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's something that a lot of people really need to remember as well. You don't have to go up there and say that you're going to give a speech on foreign affairs if you have no knowledge at all about it. Just get up there and talk about the different things that you actually know about. And you're going to find an audience that connects with you because you're able to exude that information with confidence and with your own spin, which creates, if I'm not mistaken, your own charisma.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this leads to a really important point that I've written a lot about on both Threads and X already, authenticity.
Yeah.
The charismatic authenticity that is so important so that we can connect with the people who we actually want to have in our life, as our friends, as our audience, as our clients. If we go in there and put up an image that we feel that we need to fake all the time, if we're really good at faking, we might attract clients who are attracted to this image. But there will come future problems in this relationship because this is not the people who are the right people for us, who we really want to have in our life as our dream clients. This is something that maybe our ego has said that this is the type of people you should work with, and it's going to be so prestigious, or it can be whatever reason that we have thought that that's the kind of people we want to attract. So that's why I need to be this way.
Yeah.
And if we're good at faking, they will come to us, but then we will have to keep faking and faking all the time. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it's not going to fulfill us. As, for example, a career could be fulfilling, and that's better than having a career that does not feel fulfilling if we have the choice. But if we instead are authentic about who we are, about the kind of people we want in our lives, about what we love to talk about, and we are that way, we talk about the things we love, we know what kind of person we want to talk to, and actually imagine this as maybe even one individual when mm-hmm. we talk to our audience, then those people will find us. We will become findable on their radar.
Yeah.
And once we become this blip on their radar, they will come to us. Mm-hmm. And it will be the right people, and we will be the right fit for them as well. And this is an amazing beginning of any kind of a relationship. It can be a romantic relationship. It can be with clients. It can be the kind of partnerships you attract to your business, anything.
Yeah.
Friends. Yeah. So I would say that is a really, really important thing, to be yourself. It was really hard for me to understand what this meant when I was younger. Be yourself. What do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean with that? But now it's much more clear to me. It's authenticity, talking about things you find interesting for real, not pretending, mm-hmm. and knowing what kinds of people you're really inspired by, and trying to also listen to yourself. Is it some form of ego and prestige mm-hmm. making me talk about something, or feeling attracted towards a certain topic or group of people? Or is it because I'm truly interested and inspired by this?
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Excellent. To ask yourself.
That's a great question. Yeah. And that's actually what I would consider might be the first step that a lot of people should take when it comes to thinking about what they want to do to improve their confidence, to improve their charisma, to really get themselves in a position where they can exude that confidence on a stage, or in front of a group of people, or just even a one-on-one conversation. Mm. Would you say that would be the first step that they should take for themselves? Like, what do you think is something that they can do to get things started, to get them on that path, that first step, something that can create a routine for them?
This is a really good question. Authenticity is actually, yes, it is a step, but it's a very, very big step.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back to values, actually, to start there, to be really clear on what are your core values, because from that, you will be much clearer also on what do you really want in life.
Yeah.
What kind of people do you really want in life? Who do you want to be in your life? What do you want to be known for, and why?
Yeah.
So start with values, and bring it down to three core values and test them. Like,
yeah.
Okay, is this really the true values that I mm-hmm. live by? Or have I forced myself into choosing these three because of some outer expectations? Why am I choosing these three?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever number you choose to select. But really give yourself time, at least a couple of weeks, to really get deep with this. Because if you do, everything else is going to be so much easier and smoother afterwards. Don't rush this step. Would be my advice. It does take time. If you're already clear on your values, then I think it's time to go and envision your ideal future self and see how far along am I becoming this person.
Yeah.
It's good to know also that this future version of ourselves, they're going to change. They're going to grow, because we are going to grow.
Yeah.
And that's natural. Because we always want to have something to aspire to. And what is better to aspire to than the most ideal version of ourselves that we can think of?
Yeah.
And it's a good thing that our imagination will expand, because that is a sign that we also are growing all the time. So yes, that would be my suggestion for the next step. Get clear on who this person is. And then, I mean, ask yourself, what are the habits this person has? What does he or she do when it comes to their occupation or their mm-hmm. business? What does he or she like to do for a hobby? Mm-hmm. How much do they sleep? How much do they exercise? Who are their friends and why? What have they accomplished? What are they known for? And when you know these things, and you can create your own questions as well, but when you start getting clear on these things,
yeah,
then you can start to get clear on how big is the gap, the discrepancy between now and between this version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, don't see it as something negative. It is just right. Something you need to create a plan for. And mm-hmm. if we're getting specific about charisma, like this person I have envisioned is extremely charismatic, public speaker, really, for you, it would be a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that basically means that you need to come up with a plan. How am I going to get myself there?
Right.
How am I going to get myself the practical aspects first? Where are the venues that I would be doing this? What are the organizations that are making these things possible, creating these events? Who would I invite? Mm-hmm. How would I tell people about this plan of mine? Who would I tell first? What would I talk about? What mm-hmm. is something that this ideal person that I'm going to speak to as a, say, public speaker or as a stand-up comedian, what would they find really interesting, inspiring, funny? What would they remember? What would touch their hearts? And that would start to make it clear for you what you need to do, the practical yeah. things and the internal work as well.
Mm.
So there we have a little plan. Yeah.
And hopefully there'll be a lot of people that will implement that plan and get things going and kind of get themselves on that first step. Yeah. And tell my listeners where we can find you on social media.
Oh, yeah. So I've mostly been active on Threads lately,
mm-hmm.
where my handle is milena.dalinaros. I have also written on X, where it is Milena Dalinaros, without the dot.
Without the dot.
And I've recently also created a Pinterest, where it's also Ooh. Milena Dalinaros, without the dot.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And
I'm going to have a website soon, which is going to be milenadalinaros.com, but I'm still building it. So please have patience. I'm going to tell you when I launch that.
Wonderful. And I will make sure to let my listeners know when that website is up. So that way they can visit and they can continue to hopefully work with you on this.
Thank
because
you.
just like we said, it is not about fake it till you make it. It's not about satisfying your own ego. Yeah. It is about projecting who you are, projecting yeah. what you can talk about. And that will create the confidence, that will up your charisma, and that will have people looking at you and saying, ooh, that person knows what they're talking about. That person has something that is of value. Remember, when it comes to sharing your work, when it comes to letting the people know that you have value, you can't stand in your own way. You have to let them know who you are. You have to let them know that your message is worth listening to. And a big part of that is having the confidence in yourself to move forward in that realm. So for Milena Dalinaros, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.